Back to Ping. This is episode 156. 156 joyous weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about. And this week we have yet again, we're grateful to the magic of software technology because we have Paul co-hosting with us via Skype. Paul, how goes it in beautiful Los Angeles?
LA is great. Yeah, I actually decided to move my laptop away from my air mattress and next to the window, so hopefully we have a little bit better light this time.
Right. And I did notice before we started filming, Paul went and tried to like clean up his bachelor pad, and that consisted of basically kicking, it looked like a double layered air mattress out of the camera frame. Is that what you're sleeping on these days?
Yes, I am sleeping on an air mattress, and it is glorious.
It looked like you didn't even have a sheet on the air mattress.
Well, you were looking at my co-founder's air mattress. So we actually have matching air mattresses, his and his. Uh-huh. Mine actually have sheets on them, but his is just an amalgamation of all sorts of...
So are you guys in just one big open space? There's no privacy? You're just hanging out with his air mattress next to your air mattress?
Yeah, it's an 1,800 square foot studio, but it is shaped like an L.
Okay.
So we have line of sight privacy, but as you know, people were complaining about last time, there's a lot of echo in here, and we're trying to work through the details on that, so we apologize. But my stuff ideally will be arriving sometime later today or tomorrow, so there'll be less echo next week or whatever future week I can do this again.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, one of the things that I know Paul and Larry on my team and me not so much, but other people have been really working hard on is trying to fix the quality issues that you guys pointed out over and over and over again in last week's episode. And the audio problem, something we're obviously aware of, and we're going to try to get Paul some sort of like soft filter so he looks a little bit prettier, and generally just up the quality of the show altogether. Right, Paul?
Yeah, I'm all about being really superficial and pretty. That's why I moved to LA.
I know. Your cheeks look rosier already, to tell you the truth.
Oh, that's because my girlfriend's visiting. I'm just so happy she's here.
I don't believe that for one bit, but should we start the show?
Let's do it.
All right. All right, Paul. So I remember back in the day in like junior high when I wanted to go to the mall with my friend Jill, or like we had to pick up Susie on the way, they had to call us and give our parents directions. My parents had to get the pen and write down, you make a left past, you know, Smith Street, and then you got to go past the McDonald's. It was a nightmare. I look back, and now I don't know how I lived without, you know, the nav in my car and the map on my phone. I think people take it for granted how much these things are making our life easier.
Oh, yeah. It's not that people are just taking it for granted. They demand and they get extremely upset if there isn't a precise mapping solution that gives them like inch-by-inch directions. It's like if they get turned around at all, they're like, this is worthless. I'm so done with this device.
I'm the same way. Like if I'm in my car and like it tells me to turn in like 100 feet, but really the turn is right there, I'm like, how do they expect me to get anywhere? So I got to get a new car.
What was that sound effect that you do when you get upset?
It probably has more expletives than I let out right now,
I
but
see.
Something like, ah, you know? Anyway, I guess a lot of people around the world share this, and the recent update to the iPhone operating system had some problems with their mapping system, right? They had to rebuild it from the ground up.
Yeah, iOS 6 is the first version of the iPhone that doesn't have Google Maps included by default.
Right.
And that has, it's confused a lot of customers, and it's upset a lot of customers, thinking that, you know, I just bought the latest and greatest, you know, new iPhone, and here I see a step backwards from the experience that I've, become very familiar with over the last three or four or how many generations of phones they've had.
Right. So people are enraged. So I believe it's their CEO, Apple CEO Tim Cook. He actually recognized this problem, put out a public, like a PR statement, you know, sort of apologizing for it. And then what he did, which is why we're actually talking about it, because everybody makes mistakes, you know. Not every piece of software technology people are going to put out, they're not going to get it always right the first time. No big deal that the mapping had some issues. But what's cool is he tells people to go use Bing Maps.
He actually wrote a statement very similar to, you know, what Steve Jobs had done in the past, where he like wrote this huge memo to customers about the use of Flash and other plugins, and now Tim Cook used the same type of channel to basically make a statement saying, we apologize for the downgraded experience. We hold ourselves to a very high bar, and we've fallen below that bar, and we apologize. Here are some alternatives that you can explore while we try and rectify the situation. And Bing Maps and Nokia Maps were both listed there.
Yeah.
And as well as, you know, trying to use the maybe Google Maps through the HTML5 experience versus a native experience.
Well, I think it's awesome. You know, he could have just said, he could have not said anything, which is option one. And then, you know, he could have said, we're sorry, we're working on it. But he went above and beyond, and he threw people in our direction, which is obviously we want you to use Bing Maps. And then it's just made several headlines that I've been reading about this story. And in most of them, when I go ahead and read the messages and the comments that users are posting, most of them have really, really positive feedback about their experience using Bing Maps as well. So I've always thought that Bing is one of our, Windows Phone, and then Bing is something that I always promote as our best products, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really depends on where you are. Like, I think in the Seattle area, Bing Maps are quite good. I think a lot of the U.S. is mapped out pretty well, but it is a huge amount of data that needs to be refreshed constantly due to changes in streets, to construction, to adding in all the local businesses. And we've announced a couple times about the just petabytes of imagery that we've been adding to, or terabytes of imagery that we've been adding to Bing Maps to just make it look very, very beautiful and to help people navigate. But there are certainly some areas in the world, like in Shanghai, for example, it didn't seem like any mapping solution that at least was English-based was any good there. But Google Maps definitely beat out Bing Maps in that area. So I think that Apple is now learning firsthand that this is a very difficult space that's going to take a lot of time to collect a lot of data. And there are a number of people out there, namely Google and Bing and a few startups that are actually able to do better at maps in certain areas. Now, what I'm really interested in seeing is the Nokia Maps and how that gets integrated into Windows Phone 8. For example, like they have offline maps, so that way you don't actually need an active data connection. You just need the GPS on your phone. So if you're in a remote location or if you're going to another country where you don't want to pay for data, you can already have all of the mapping data on your phone, and then you can just use GPS completely for free because that talks to satellites versus the local data network, so you'd actually be able to get those turn-by-turn directions. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that works out with Windows Phone 8.
Yeah, cool. Well, and that will be all public information very, very soon with the release of Windows Phone 8. So I think the moral of the story is here is if you're in Shanghai, then we're sorry. You may not have the best mapping tools, but everywhere else, use Bing Maps, in the words of Tim Cook. You know, Paul, it's been said by, you know, many that I'm a trailblazer or, you know, visionary or just...
Get out there. Did you say you?
Yeah, yeah, you know, just really like just ahead of my time, you know? I mean, these are, you know, it's out there. It lives. I can't stop it. You know, this is what's going on. And to further prove that point, there's a new big, probably great Hollywood blockbuster film coming out called Paranormal Activity 4, right?
Yep.
And in it, they use the Microsoft Kinect to somehow sense and detect ghosts in the room. So we can see, apparitions and whatnot.
Wow, this sounds very familiar to a Halloween video.
You see, you are picking up what I'm putting down. I line them up, and you knock them out of the park, Paul, because if anyone wants to go back and watch Microsoft's Channel 9 Connect to Kill Halloween video 2011, which I'll provide a link to, starring Paul Mestemaker, you'll see.
I'm clearly a star there.
Yeah, well, I really liked about it is that we had your lips sewn shut. That was probably...
That was hours on set. That was completely unnecessary for me to continue to have my lips sewn shut. I'm pretty sure you paid off somebody.
It was really just a personal joy for me. Made no sense in the script, but really I enjoyed it. Anyway, in my movie, in our movie, Paul, let's just call it what it is.
Bring me in on that. Yeah.
We used the Kinect to, to help the killer and to reverse it. So obviously this is something that Hollywood picked up on. And now we're using the Microsoft Kinect in big blockbuster films.
Yeah. Now, I think they probably had a little bit bigger budget than what we had.
Probably. So but, what they do is they scour the internet for, creative people and ideas. And then they take those ideas and they steal them and they use them as their own.
Yeah.
But regardless of where the idea came from, I think the benefit and the good thing here is that people are... For the long time now, seeing the benefits of using a Kinect for more than just gaming.
Right.
Yeah,
they could do it for ghost hunting as well.
Ghost hunting. It's just the list goes on and on of all the ways you can use your Kinect.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about this is that now that we're having Kinect as essentially a product placement. Like, I don't know if Microsoft approached them to say like, hey, consider using our Kinect, or if they saw this and they like, oh, we want to write a script around this.
Yeah, we just discussed this. They saw my film and then they copied it. Where have you been?
Well, I mean, if that's the case, they definitely need to put like a special thanks to Laura Foy.
I thought we cleared that up.
Somewhere in the credits. But I mean, regardless, I think that this shows how mainstream and well-known the Kinect is now for movie makers to consider putting it into, a major motion picture.
Right.
And, like, I remember when rappers first started, putting in Google or, like, other things like Facebook or Twitter into their music. And now to see Kinect actually make it into a film like this, it's actually really, really interesting.
Can you rattle off some rap about Facebook? Because I don't think I know any rappers rapping about...
This was back in the day, back when, DJ Cod was actually not just a Halo character and an Xbox avatar, but
gotcha. All right, well, if anyone watching knows of when some rappers, a.k.a. hip-hop artists, but, Paul says rappers, are rapping about Twitter or Facebook, please let me know. And the moral of this story, Paul, is to watch the Channel 9 Halloween video 2012 coming out the end of October.
And then the subsequent follow-up, which is Paranormal 5.
Yeah, that's fine, too. All right, everybody, as you know, Microsoft is constantly releasing updates and patches and making your experience better and brighter, and they have done that with the Windows Azure SQL database. And here to tell you all about it is Paul.
Yep. So thanks for letting me field this one, Laura. I know that you really wanted to, get the news out on this stuff. But
I was going to. I'm just going to let you do it.
Yeah.
I'll be here.
That's good.
Lunchtime.
So SQL Azure has released some new features. A couple of these things are actually things that would have been really nice for the project that I used to work on, System Center Advisor. One of which was the SQL Server support for linked server and distributed queries against different SQL databases. So that functionality, I'm not sure if it's just as simple as like cross-database joining inside the cloud, but at least what you can do, I know, is that you can use the four-part naming convention to connect your on-premise SQL servers with your Azure-hosted SQL databases. So that way you can start slowly choosing what data can be hosted in the cloud and what data stays in your data center. I think this will be really interesting for enterprise customers that have top secret information or information that they feel reluctant to bring up into the cloud outside of their data centers. But there can be, you know, substantial amounts of data or simple data that that they're not too worried about that gets put in the cloud, and that way they can help build up, Microsoft can help build up their trust with some of these bigger clients. And in addition to that, there's also another thing where you can now have more granular control on the SQL Azure or the SQL database firewall. So instead of just being able to restrict connections and access to the server, you can actually choose like the different databases that you have in the server. I'm glad you're paying attention to this. Because it's not destroying my concentration at all. But yeah, it'll be great to see a lot of these things come out, and the customers that are on SQL Azure today, will, like these features will just transparently roll out, so they don't really have to do anything to start taking advantage of it, aside from perhaps instrumenting their code and actually leveraging the features. So it's definitely a great couple things, and good job to the SQL Azure team.
Does it make you miss like your team here and working at Microsoft and me?
I have been trying to work on non-Microsoft platforms for about a month, and I seriously miss the developer tools, and I miss the familiarity of the last 15 years of my life as I've been trying to master all of these technologies, because everything that I read here is like, okay, like, yeah, I understand how that works, but trying to go to a completely different platform is very, very hard. So I'm betting big on Azure. And
come home, Paul. Come home.
See you guys.
So Microsoft is yet again setting Guinness World Records, and they recently did one for a hackathon in Bangalore. Do you get so many hackathons, Paul?
I haven't attended too many hackathons aside from what my life has been for the last 2 weeks of working nonstop.
Touché, Paul. Well, I actually do attend quite a few hackathons, and this one had over 2,500 participants in the course of 18 hours, which is a lot of people to just be sitting there. The cumulative brain power over the, you know, of that 18 hours in that however many rooms or whatever square footage or 2,500 people, it's just like you could probably move the world, but instead they built Windows 8 apps.
Which there could be a world-moving app in there. You never know. It could be like the iAtlas or whatever you want to call it, where the world just like rests on their digital shoulders.
You never know. You never know. All right, everybody, that's it for this week. I want to thank Paul for taking a break from sunbathing and cocktail sipping and actually pushing his hot air mattress, or what is it again? Is that what you're sleeping on?
Yeah, it's an air mattress.
His inflatable resting place, and joining us for Ping. So, Paul, you going to come back next week?
I'll do my best.
All right, and I, as usual, because I'm committed, will be here next week. And without any further ado, follow me at L4 and
at Paul Ness.
We'll see you next week.